Hello?
You're
Am I on?
live.
Okay. Hi, this is Yisachar Wartel. It's been a few weeks since I've had the privilege to be able to speak to all of you, so I want to wish you all a great new year and a year of prosperity, wellness, health, good fortune, and everything else that you can imagine. As we're wrapping up the year, really entering the new year, but wrapping up the Torah cycle, we come to our second to last parsha of Ha'azinu, which is actually one of the most, if not the most, esoteric of all the parshiot. It's written in very partially cryptic, poetic verse, but it's filled with all kinds of mystical and different types of insights, promise, all kinds of stuff like that. I have various different insights that I would love to share, but I only have 10 minutes. So I wanted to share with you something that I actually thought of over this Rosh Hashanah. So, as you know, at the beginning of this week's parsha, we mentioned various different types of precipitation. And Chazal teach that each type of precipitation has a different function. We have Matar, we have Tal, and we have Geshem. And we have Revivim, and we even have Seirim, which is a whole interesting question in of itself. And there's a lot of parallels that are there, and we see there are many different types of rains, which have different types of form, and many different Rebbeim talk about how certain types of precipitation are good for some crops and not for other crops, and how everything could potentially be a blessing, but that dew is always a blessing. And obviously, many of these things go, infinitely deep and have a lot of impact to our lives. One thing that I wanted to talk about, though, is we just experienced Rosh Hashanah, and we accepted Hashem as our Melech. And in our davening, we said Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimolech Olam Ve'ed, which is something that we say fairly often, and sometimes we sing it. It's actually become one of the most popular Jewish songs over the years. Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimolech Olam Ve'ed, right? And perhaps it resonates with us, not just because it's a catchy tune, but because there's so much embedded in there. It not only talks about the, Ehyeh, right, that, Hashem Hayahu Ve'ehu, that Hashem is everything that was, everything that is, and everything that will be, right? Now, obviously, that's important to understanding, as best as we can, understanding, the nature of Hashem, that he, forgetting about the fact that he exists throughout time, he created time. I mean, he's beyond all concepts of time and everything that we can possibly imagine with our finite minds. But it's also interesting to look at the vowels that actually take place, right? It doesn't say Hashem has rained, and then Hashem is raining, and then Hashem will rain, right? And that Hashem was king, is king, and will be king. It says Hashem is king, then was king, and then will be king. So there's various different commentaries, Mefarshim, that talk about the order. But I would like to focus actually upon the vowelization and the kudot that are utilized. That underneath the first one, which is Hashem Melech, that mem begins with a three dots. That's known as a segol. Then in the second one, we have Malach, which is a kamatz. And then in Yimloch, under the mem, we have a shva. Now, this actually can correlate to three or four parallel patterns. So first, let's look at the nature of Hashem. Hashem created the world, at least as we know it, with chesed, right? Hashem operates the world. Hashem is a God of chesed. We say Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum lechanan, right? So he is able to take something, like, so the segol is a matter of three dots. Those three dots represent, whether you would call it matter, substance, whatever you want to be, and he takes it, and instead of holding on to it, he bestows it. He drops. So the collecting of it would be seen by the kamatz. It may be a little bit difficult to envision, but if you have a chance to look this up later, I'd recommend it. The kamatz is shaped kind of like a little T, so it's like a collection of those three dots, and then it starts to drip down, right, in the shva. And you can also then see this with respect to tzedakah, right? If a person has a few coins or a few things, he has a kamitza. He has the kamitza. It was actually referred to the Kohen Gadol putting the flour in his hand. It's a notion of grabbing or collecting, but you don't just collect it and then you're done with it. Then you drip it down. You bestow chesed, right? You bestow tzedakah, right? You the shva, which is the two dots that are dripping down, and the notion of dripping down we're saying Hashem is reigning, we can also then, instead of R-E-I-G-N, we can also say R-A-I-N, right? Because you can look at those three dots almost as if they're precipitation or evaporation or little raindrops, if you will, little beads of water. And they coalesce and they form a cloud, which is the kamatz, and then they drip down in the form of a shva, which again is the bestowal of mercy, the bestowal of goodness. And that is really the true essence of Hashem. Yes, Hashem is our king, and Hashem, of course, is also our father, but it's a bestowal of giving. It's a bestowal of everything that he has. The essence is what Hashem's trying to tell us, right? Right. If you want to endure forever, if you want to have a legacy in the past, you really need to be able to give. You need to give freely of yourself. Don't just take. Don't be co-mates. Don't just grab onto what you have. We have to let it freely flow. You have to let it drip down. And this is even seen in the words, right? Segol, right? In the three dots that we have, segol is from sigula, which means treasure. You have little coins, jewels, whatever it might be, and you grab them in your hand. Kamatz, right? You're in the kamitza, right? That's the shape that is, right? You grab them, but you don't hold on to them. You grab them in order to give them, right? Shva. Shva is the same root as shaveh, which means equal, right? I want you to have what I have. I don't want to be the only one that has means. I see that you're lacking. I want to give to you. I want to be bestowal chesed. I want to be gmilut chesedim, right? I want to be able to make sure that you also have, that I don't have alone, that I'm able to give, right? So shaveh. We want to make sure that you're equal, right? Not that everybody has to be equal in every respect, because of course everybody is different. Everybody has their different challenges. But equal in the respect that if I have something that I know that you need or really truly want to have, then I have a responsibility to, you know, at least try and help you out to the best of my means to make sure that you are able to have hopefully some level of simcha that I might be fortunate to have. Maybe Hashem gave me a certain amount of wealth, or Hashem gave me a certain other type of means that I have the ability to now share with you as a bestowal of chesed. Now, obviously, you know, this is not to get in, you know, obviously this can obviously be taken the wrong way, and that's when you get into communism. But if you do it from a true genuine place is that, not that everybody is entitled to have everything, but that I have something and I can give you $1, I can give you $5, I can give you my time, right? It doesn't have to be money, right? And this is the element of chesed, and this is what we're going to, and we're working towards it. And we're going to a time where we're going to be praying for rain. But it doesn't have to necessarily be physical rain. We're praying for a rain of bracha, right? And that could be the bestowal from Shemayim of everything that we need, right? But in order for Hashem to give us what we need, whether it be rain for our crops or parnasa for our lives or health for ourselves and our loved ones, we also have to then in turn give to others. We have to not be stingy, and we have to freely give to other people. We have to emulate the Hashem that we want to connect with. We have to emulate Hashem with the bestowal of chesed, right? As we say, Hazino Hashemayim v'dibera, the heavens and the earth are going to be testifying. The Shemayim are going to be seeing what drips down and what you're collecting, and the earth is going to then see what you're doing with it, right? Right? So the whole world is a testimony. Everything around you, everybody around you, and all of Hashem will see how everything drips. Yerov kamatar lechi, what you acquire is going to be dripping down. It shouldn't be staying by you. Hashem doesn't give you wealth and material or any type of blessing just for your own needs. As amazing as that is, it's to helpful for a purpose and to help the world. And of course, all of these things can be expounded further and further. And on the concept of water, which of course many, many posts can get into, if you are interested, I haven't done that much with it, but I do have a YouTube channel for those of you who would like to view it. Yisachar CHG, Yisochorchg. I have a small shiur on the importance of water and its relevance to the Yomim Nerayim as we really start to ramp into this notion of water giving or praying for water on the Sukkot Chag, where we really start to daven for water, and we actually can see this whole spectrum going from Rosh Hashanah to all the way to Shemini Atzeret, and how that's kind of a spectrum. We're kind of reaching a pinnacle on Shana Rabbah and Shemini Atzeret, which the Zohar talks about at length. And at the time, I saw a really interesting meme today, just to finish up very quickly before this ends, that on some level, it's more important what you do from Yom Kippur to Rosh Hashanah than what you do from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. I really like that. That, you know, we have these 10 days we really focus on, but ultimately it's the other 355 or 344 days of the year that ultimately really count. What are we going to bring with us, and what are we going to give to others, and what are we going to give to the world within the next year? Shabbat Shalom. Chag Sameach.